Eye on the World by Tan Kok Seng. Chapter 1. Meeting Millionaires. Champagne, the most famous of French wines, world famous. In any part of the world, when invited by great people, whether to a silver wedding party, a birthday, a wedding, or a national day celebration, nothing can be celebrated without champagne. Apart from a Chinese dinner's Mao Tai and Japanese sake, what drink is more famous? This was the first time I had traveled by jet. Why did the air hostess smile every time she passed me? Did she know it was the first time I was traveling by jet? Or was I in some way different from others? Maybe she saw me as a handsome man. I gave myself a once-over. There was nothing wrong with my body. I was of humble birth. By comparison with other Chinese, I did not feel handsome. My height was 5'10" and my weight 140 pounds. Was this perfect? My face was the same as any other Teochews from southern China. Yet somehow the air hostess seemed to be treating me with special politeness. Though I was only traveling economy class, every time she passed, she smiled at me and inquired, "Another glass of champagne?" I didn't know how many glasses I'd had. I felt my body floating and wobbling, as if I were no longer sitting still in my seat. Then a sudden blur, and I could not see anything. But I felt as if I had flown out of the porthole and was winging my way independently through the clouds, leaving all the other passengers behind. Suddenly, a very soft female voice murmured in my ear, and a soft hand gently touched my shoulder. "Excuse me, sir, fasten your seatbelt. We're about to land at Kai Tak." I woke up with a jump and opened my eyes. I saw the beautiful air hostess smile at me and walk away. Having just woken up from a sweet dream, I was not sure what was happening around me now. Then the loudspeaker said, "Will passengers please fasten their seatbelts and bring their seats to the upright position? In a few seconds, we shall be landing at Kai Tak Airport, Hong Kong." My hands searched quickly for my seatbelt and I fastened it. Looking out through the porthole, I could see nothing but blue sky with white clouds flying beneath. The pieces of white cloud seemed to be moving faster than usual, as if trying to escape from the hurtful blows the aircraft gave them. At such moments, the aircraft suddenly dropped, and my heart felt as if it was jumping out of my mouth. I glued myself firmly to my seat. At the same time, the aircraft's engines sounded as though they were roaring like angry tigers. I looked out again and down. Below was the sea, reflecting the blue sky and clouds. Then the sea became entirely blue, and apart from a very few small islands, there was nothing else. The aircraft was gradually descending lower and lower, coming closer and closer to the water, till it was like a ship meeting the waves, shuddering at the impact. As if tired, the engines were calming down, the aircraft moving more slowly. An air hostess, standing at the head of the cabin, said into a loudspeaker, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have now landed in Hong Kong. Please remain in your seats until the aircraft comes to a total stop. We hope you all enjoyed the flight, and we look forward to seeing you fly with us again." She repeated this in Cantonese. Once more, I looked out of the porthole. Beside us, there was nothing but water. How could this jet come to a stop on the water? Being very clever, I told myself this was a flying boat, not a modern aircraft. When I was very young, I sometimes used to see flying boats. I remembered the colossal waves they created as they touched down. But to my surprise, when the plane stopped completely, I saw two buses approaching. When it came to my turn to leave the plane, I stood at the head of the ramp and looked to the stern, toward the direction from which we had flown in. Only then did I realize that we had descended on a runway, immensely long and narrow, projecting out into the sea like a diving board into a swimming pool. This was why the jet had seemed to stop on the water. At that moment, a gust of cold wind blew at me and my whole stomach full of champagne evaporated. Thinking back a few hours to Singapore in that kind of heat and to the feeling of being suddenly transformed into a high and grand person upon entering the plane, I asked myself if this was real. In the air terminal building, I saw that all the immigration officers were Chinese and I could hear that they were talking in Cantonese. But the sound was not the same as the Cantonese spoken in Singapore and Malaysia. The sound conveyed to me a warning. This is Hong Kong. I handed my passport to the white-faced gentleman before me. His face seemed very weak, like a creature with no emotion, completely cold. He addressed me as Mr. Tang. I replied, "Excuse me, but I'm Tan, not Tang. In Cantonese, I'm Chan." "Oh," he said in Hong Kong Cantonese, "so you're Chan." Continuing to speak to me in Hong Kong Cantonese, he inquired, "Mr. Chan, are you coming here on business?" Using my Singapore Cantonese, I told him,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?